a huge thing that people forget is that HR is also an employee. People need to know either it's going good or it's going bad. It's affecting HR. If company come and say, oh, there is no 100% performance bonus this year, it's now 50%. HR is not going to get 100%. HR will get 50% like you people. And then if we hit a major milestone and they come and say, oh, this year, alongside performance bonus, we are also paying 100% 13th leave. That means you can collect like 2.5 salaries in December. HR will also collect it. And I'm putting it out there, even if the HR is CHRO and the person sits in C-suits, whatever decision is made for employees, the HR is not exempted. It affects him or her or them. If they come and say, oh, resumption time is no more 9, it's now 8 o'clock, HR too will come 8 o'clock. So I feel like general employees need to know that whatever goes on in the company actually affects HR too, because ultimately HR is an employee. HR can be fired, HR can be sacked, HR can be put on probation.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, we feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. I am Oluwanifemi Kolawole, Senior Editor, TechPoint Africa. What you've heard about the HR profession is probably wrong. Joining me to debunk misconceptions about the HR profession today is Emmanuel Faith, popularly known as EF, a renowned people and talent leader who have played impressive people management roles both in the corporate and startup space. He talks about the unique challenges associated with HR professional roles, what an average day looks like for an HR professional, the roles of HR in different contexts, and the importance of HR in startups. He also shares how HR professionals balance employee demands and management expectations. Let's dive right into it.
The other day, somebody tweeted, he said, one HR is going to go out today and spoil the name of HR. And let that not be you. So have people walk up to you and ask you some questions that they are just asking you because you are HR? Not because they've seen you work, they just ask you those kind of questions or accuse you. Let's use that word.
So, very interesting. Now that you ask, like, this illustration didn't even come to mind before. But there was a time I was getting to know someone online. We are now very good acquaintances, by the way. And she was like, did our HR send me to her? Because of, you know, like, you know what talking stages and everything. So it wasn't even talking stage or anything because it was not romantic. I was just genuinely interested in her. But the kind of questions, because she had seen HR on my profile. And the kind of questions I was asking, man, I'm trying to know you. I want to know about your life. I want to know about your career. I want to know about what you do outside work. So I think those two, I can't remember the exact questions anymore. But by the time she was answering the third question, she was like, wait, first, did my HR send you to me? So it just let people be automatically on the defensive when they see that HR is around or HR is in conversation. Like, oh, hope you are not here to report me to my boss. You know, hope you don't know my boss. Do you know my CEO? Why are you asking me these questions?
Yeah, so what accusations have you gotten as an HR in your career journey?
So it's interesting. I like to say, and I try to say this everywhere so that people understand my quote-unquote privilege. I've been lucky or blessed enough to work in very good places. I started out my career at General Electric, where my managers were super amazing, super inspiring people. And then I moved to CareerWise as the first HR. Also the first lead, because I was first HR, so I was the lead, right? I built out the people and processes, defined our culture, and CareerWise was at a very formative stage. So I was able to, I remember during my onboarding, one of the catch up I had with the CTO, he was like, you are lucky. Do you know why? You are starting on a clean slate. And it is true, because everywhere I've gone after then, it's been 10 times harder. But at CareerWise, I started on a clean slate. So people loved me. It doesn't mean that everything went easy and smooth. I had clashes with a lot of people, but it just meant that I laid the kind of foundation that I wanted for people processes. And I can say it anywhere that till date, the foundation I laid is what they are still enjoying, is what they are still building on. If I didn't lay those foundations, they won't have what they are building on today. At Big Cabal Media, it was interesting because I had a COO that liked me and just believed in me, right? So it was more challenging than career-wise. But again, I'm very personable. I think that's the word. Like, people easily connect with me and I easily connect with people. And I'm easily quick to debunk whatever myths that people already have about HR. I'm like, oh no, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm also put this out there. I'm also quick to go the unconventional route, pretty much. Like, what I can give practical illustrations. What an HR will say, oh, put him on probation, oh, send a query, oh, I will not do that. For instance, practical stuff, and I think I can share this publicly. At BCM, when I joined, there was someone that was on probation. So the person had been on probation before I joined. Do you get? So I joined around the time that his probation was running up. And he didn't do well, right? To be honest, on papers, numbers, he didn't do well. So he was supposed to be let go. And I literally told the CEO, no, COO, and I said, I'm sorry, yo. Me, I just joined this company. The first thing I can do is not be letting someone go. So now that me, I'm here, we are not going to do another probation. I don't care about what has happened before. I am new. I am here. So we are going to do another probation. And then whatever happens after that probation, let's now decide. A conventional HR will not do that. So I'm quick to take unconventional bets on people. I'm quick to challenge the status quo. I think it's public news that I'm now with AfriChange. I've spent less than a month. I've changed things. I've shaken things together. Like, I've come out to say, I don't like our own body. Let's revamp it. And yet, I don't understand our core values. So I am not, immediately I'm joining, I'm letting you know that I'm not the kind of HR that you people have read about. I'm different. I'm here to make good impact. I'm not here for the management and I'm not here for the employees too. I just want to do good work and ensure that every party is happy. So maybe that has also helped me. Also, luckily, I've also been, so for career-wise, you know, I laid the foundation. For BCM, I had a COO that was very personable and was wild about me for my interview. At AfriChange, I report to a manager that knew me before I joined, right? So maybe, but not every, and I'm putting that disclaimer to let you know, not everybody will have that, for a lack of better word, privilege. But because I've also worked with people that sort of trusted me, I'm able to just do things disruptively. Yeah.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I love the fact that you're speaking from your perspective and the experiences you've had. But I also know that professionals like you belong to communities and they've heard stories. They can tell stories for days of what their colleagues have to go through. So, an unprivileged colleague, right? What have they been exposed to, like finding themselves in the outside world like that? So let's hear those stories.
People, they see things, very, very random things, you know. There are some people, for example, till date, and it's one of the misconceptions I want to correct. HR is not the one that sacks you. HR is not the one that gave you probation. HR is not the one that registers salary. At the best, they are mediums. See, there's no cuter word. They are errand boys and girls. Right? And that's why, you know, when I'm in like HR community, I'm always saying, hey, you have to be very good at your work. You have to be able to push back. For example, the first illustration I gave about the person that was on probation, trust me, another HR could have said, oh, okay, he's done with probation, he did not pass, we are letting him go, and that would be the end. And the HR did not do a bad thing. He did not do a bad thing. Me challenging is unconventional, and not every HR will be unconventional, and that's okay. So a lot of things you say, oh, HR is a spy, HR will report me to my... We are no witches and wizards, fam. We are literally just doing what we are asked to do. I'm sorry. Yeah, so...
But I don't want to interrupt here, but you know, there's a new crop of HR, right? And you happen to belong to that new crop. There are a number of them that I can mention that I've come across there. They belong to this new crop of HR. But I believe these perceptions that have been formed, this just come out of thin air. It's because it has been like that for a time, or there was a generation of HR that acted this way, that formed it. Because come to think of it, my first workplace was a conventional workplace, right? And my experience of HR was not nice at all. It was not great. So this perception, are they unfounded or they are true to some extent?
So we have to do a bit of theoretical and historical trajectory. So HR started as an administrative function, right? In fact, if you do CIPM in Nigeria, that's why CIPM is still Chartered Institute of Personnel Management. I feel like they should remove that personnel so that we know that we progressed. So we started as personnel management, just managing people doing administrative functions. But over the last decade, we've seen HR come into strategic roles. And that's why you begin to have roles like HR business partners, strategic HR business partners, chief human resource officer. I mean, when your role is even HR business partner, you already see that you are not a personnel person. You are thinking about HR processes from a business perspective. So I think that dynamism and shift of what our roles, our job functions, our job descriptions are, as well as the measurable impact we are making on the business, is now beginning to come forth. It's beginning to get enunciated in conversations, in employment relations. And that's why we have this new crop of people saying, hey, we are not just doing administrative things. We are doing strategic hiring. We are doing employer branding. We are doing employee engagement, right? So it's changing definition of structure, changing definition of job functions, and then just new people willing to walk into that change globally and then spilling in locally. Yeah.
Okay, so you've helped me to understand like the history of HR now. So these accusations that the new crop of HR are now getting, were there times that HR were doing those kind of things?
Oh, yeah, I like to think so, to be honest. Again, you know, the presence of social media, the presence of public brand storytelling have just made some things more connectable. For instance, if you're on Twitter and you follow some certain HR, you would be able to imagine what HR go through every day. I remember one of my friends, Joel JMB, you know, guy HR, we tweet that, Omo, I woke up today, I didn't plan to go and save employee for police station. You know, in your head, you're wondering, why is an HR going to the police station? But literally, that's one of the things that some HR do, you know, take care of employee welfare. In fact, I stopped taking my phone. I started taking my phone off silent because I had a talent who was getting arrested multiple times by policemen. Not because he did anything wrong, but because of his hair and jewelries. So he has a very hair and is very heavy on jewelries. And so you know how policemen, Nigerian policemen perceive people like that. And so I'm serious. We had to ask him to go and cut his hair. It felt like we were intruding to his privacy, but we're like, bro, we are sorry. We have to do something to this. And so it's weird that I'm receiving a call at 2 a.m. answering police, telling the police that, sorry, it's my staff. I'm the HR. I can call you his ID number, right? I've managed relations between my female staff and their landlords in Lagos before. If you try to rent an apartment in Lagos, you would know how stressful it is for you to rent an apartment as a young female lady, right? I've had to call landlords before to say, hey, you know, yes, I'm an HR manager. Yes, we have an accommodation assistant policy. Yes, she's not going to owe you house rent because the company is paying for the house rent. 10 years ago, there were probably people that did that, but there was no social media to tell that story. Do you get? But today, we can all come and tell the story and people can connect more. One of the most interesting questions I've gotten on Twitter is from a very smart girl. I was on a Twitter space, and after the Twitter space, she just sent me a DM that, what exactly does HR do? In fact, the way she asked it was, what will an HR be doing on August 20, 2025? Like, she just wanted to get into what we do every day, right? So, the fact that there is more storytelling and there are more platforms have sort of brought HR closer to people. So, it didn't mean that people that practiced HR 10 years ago, 15 years ago, did not do those things. It just means that there were probably no platforms to tell those stories aside their maybe very niche HR conference that also contained all HR people, which is not so helpful. Because I think that this, which is one of the reasons why I really liked Ogai HR's HR Crunch, the fact that I did the conference that brought HRs and non-HR together, because I feel like people should know more, the general population should know more about what HRs do every day.
Yeah, I was at that event and I saw the generation of HR, at least during networking. I saw like a mix of HR that have been in this space for decades and the ones that are just joining, and I saw that the lines are getting blurred now. The HR in conventional offices are now trying to blend like tech HR. I don't know whether I'm in my bubble, but it seems like tech HR is now like the thing now, you know. But there's this thing I questioned at some point, if startups even need HR. And a way I think you can answer that question is to probably highlight the things a company should expect from, or a startup should expect from an HR when they are hiring it, right? Because you find more maybe VC funded or companies, startups that have gotten external funding, getting interested in HR than bootstrapped ones. I just feel like these ones are not necessary. So coming from an HR perspective, what impact do you have on a company? Why should a startup have an HR?
Very good question to ask. Of course, you know that I run HR Clinic. For those that don't know, HR Clinic is a speed consulting session where I have HR consulting sessions with founders, all kind of founders. And in the last 1 year, I've spoken with over 25 founders across tech, startup, NGO. And one thing I've noticed, it's the same question that you asked, is funders, Nigerian funders especially, ab initio, do not conceptualize the importance of HR, which is why I think you're asking me this question. For example, if you are an SaaS, you know, you want to build a website that will sell your services, so you need a product designer, you need an engineer. Those are the first people you get on board. When you are done with the platform, you might say, okay, now I have the platform, but how do I tell my story? So I hire a marketer. So that's next. Other things you do not think that is important. You do not think that legal is important. You probably have one of your friends that you just send 100k to help you review contract, right? You obviously are not thinking about HR, which is wrong. Because the moment you are like 10, 12 employees, one, you need people to define, you need someone to come and define, this is your core values, these are the things to stand for. Two, you need someone to define the kind of people that you hire. So you're not just putting JD outside and getting 1,000 people. After your core values is defined, you then decide how you hire. There was one of my HR clinic clients who had been struggling to get the right people. The only thing I did for them, I didn't even help them hire. I just looked through all their job description and I rewrote everything, like four. And just by rewriting their job descriptions, they were able to attract the kind of candidates that they want. Because the first job description they wrote was very confusing. And in your head, you're wondering, you know, how can something as minor as job, is it not just write 5-year experience, I have something in Figma, but just writing job description to the T, wherever is reading safe, if you are not qualified and you apply, you know, if Ogun surprises your dream, you will not feel guilty. Right? So, it's just minor things. There is a marketing versus engineering debate going. Every time that debate comes, I just laugh. Because if you define a proper compensation and benefit strategy, you'll not be having marketing versus engineering debates. Because you can design a strategy such that either you're a marketer, you're an engineer, you know what your pay grade is, you know what your pay rank is. They are not the same thing. You know how you move upward, what pay band you move to. Either you're an engineer or a marketer. But we have this debate every AK day on Twitter because these people do not recognize marketer that recognize HR. Do you get? So I feel like when people value, and a marketer will come and argue for themselves the way I'm arguing for HR. When people begin to see that marketing is important and it's as important as the product designer or product manager or engineering that you're hiring, HR is important and they're as important as the marketing, the engineering, the product. I feel like things will begin to change. I read about 5 or 6 scandals that have happened, thank God you're a reporter. Everything is down to people, because what do you mean you are hiring from Amazon and Google for a Nigerian startup? What makes you think that hiring a talent from Amazon and Google will come and fix your problem in Nigeria? That is wrong hiring. And if they had a good HR, it would have advised against that. A good HR that did not shut down, by the way, because that's another debate. Founders then hire HR and then they turn the HR into automatically, yes, girl, yes, sir, girl, yes, sir, boy, right? But if you have an HR like me, you can never hire from Amazon or Google. I will not let you. I will let you know that that's wasted your resources. And that 100K that you want to use to hire one engineer from Google, I will hire 5, let's say that's tomorrow. I will hire 3 good engineers, pay them 3K. Like pay an engineer 3K per month. Jesus. the way it go take work for you, eh? And that's 36k. So that means with your 100k budget, I will get you 3 senior engineers. But no, you've got to hire for Google. And then now you are now saying, after spending 125,000 investors' money on hiring, did I send you work? So people do not think about the grand scheme of these things. Again, back to the narrow mindset of HRs. They just think that HR is operational. No, we are not. We are strategic. And when you think about the strategic value we bring to the table, then you would see our importance. So
I think you mentioned very valid point about the importance, because if you don't feel this role is important, why should you feel it? And you've mentioned some specific things that companies need, like need it for hiring, you need it for protecting yourself, protecting the workforce. So, but there's this thing that a confusion that has come up in conversations. HR will say there's difference between a lot of things you say HR do, like recruiter. HR will say a recruiter is not HR. Like, there are a lot of confusing things. Is it that you people have roles based on your responsibilities, or you can just have HR and do a lot of things?
Very good question. So they are generalists and they are specialists. And again, I'm going to allude back to marketing. I allude to marketing a lot because, one, I have a lot of marketing friends. Two, I've been in tech 5 years plus. Three, I really understand marketing because, again, I managed marketing talent over the last 5 years. Yeah. So you can see someone say, oh, I'm a life cycle marketer. A life cycle marketer means that the person can undo anything within the scope of digital marketing. Emails marketing, social media management, content marketing, which is different from content writing and stuff. Someone can say, oh, I'm a content marketer. In fact, I think there was a debate very, very recently where someone said, there's a difference between content creator and social media manager. I'm like, right? But that's how it is in HR. For example, I like to just say, for example, there's a difference between recruitment and selection. In fact, selection starts where recruitment ends. So just if you say, oh, recruitment and selection, but there's actually a difference, right? I was just telling one of my direct reports to say, hey, I think that your job scope, your job title does not describe your job scope. Do you want to change your title? So, but they are generalists. They are people that have done everything. I am a generalist. I've done everything. Talent attrition, commission and benefits, total rewards. I have a course on Talstack, and while I was developing that course, one of the things we had to debate about was, should we call it compensation and benefits, or should we call it total rewards? Right. And then we stuck with compensation and benefits because it fitted the African narrative. Some people will come and say, no, it's total rewards. Right. So what's more important than the job title is the content, the scope. What do you do every day? I was having a chat with an HR from Bloomberg, and she was telling me about how in Bloomberg, for instance, they have HR to businesses. So there is Bloomberg, but maybe there is Bloomberg data team. There is Bloomberg engineering team. And like the HR in charge of Bloomberg data team does not know anything going on in engineering team. So you are there. You just see HR at Bloomberg. And then you send a DM. Hi, my name is Oluwanifemi Emmanuel. I am applying to Bloomberg. Bro, you might be talking to the wrong guest person. What do you even know that there is an opening in Bloomberg, even though she works at Bloomberg? So more important than the titles is, what do they do every day? What does the scope of their, what's the scope of their, you know, deliverable expectation? So you see people say, I'm a people operations specialist. So what do you do as a people operations specialist, right? There was one, when I was job searching, I applied for one role. It was senior people operations manager. And so I honestly applied because one of the downsides to having my kind of career is that you have done a lot of things in so little time, right? So I'm also very selective of those I applied to, which is why I stayed long in the job market. One of the many reasons why I stayed long in the job market. So I applied to this role. It had senior people operations manager. I applied because it had senior and it had manager. And so I didn't hear for them. So I found the recruiter on LinkedIn and sent a DM. I saw that she wasn't my first connection and she looked like someone that would not ghost me. So I sent her a DM, and 3 days later she replied, you know, she didn't ghost me. I said, oh my God, that's so amazing. I stopped by your profile and I think that you'll be too senior for this role. Ah. I said, hey, ma, hey, Shanu for me. What do you mean too senior? By the way, they put 6 to 8 years experience. And so the woman came back to say, your last two roles were lead. You were lead people and culture. You were head of talent management. This role is literally recruitment plus some things. we put the seniority because on our pay band is a senior role. You get. So more important than title is literally what is the job scope? What does this job entail?
So thank you very much, Emmanuel. So there's this thing that keeps popping up in the thing you were saying. HR people answering the question of what is my average day like? So I'm going to show that question back at you. As an HR professional, in the current role you occupy at AfriChange, for instance, or you can make reference to your past roles, what is an average day like for you?
An average day wakes up is like you wake up and you put out fire to the end of the day. I'm taking a second look because I can have my laptop and I'm just hoping that there's no discussion with anybody because the fire, it was when we were busy, me and my CEO. Like, hey, did you put out any fire today? Fire means that things that you're not expecting that will happen, but will happen. But see, it's a lot depending on your job scope. For example, when I was at CareerWise, because I was the first HR and it was foundational, I did a lot of hiring in my first 90 days. I did a lot of strategic things, you know, HR policy, design compensations and benefits. At some point, I was managing payroll before we had a finance manager. Pretty much, CareerWise was very big on employer branding, so I managed employer branding. At some point, with Ferry, OEA, Michael, we launched Campus Ambassadors program. So I also managed Psycho programs because we had Campus Ambassador, which later morphed to Campus internships, right, which are later morphed to graduate training program. So that alone, there are some companies that there's a role called program management, and all you do is manage trainings. I know that there's a role open like that in World Bank, right? You manage JPAs, that's like their junior professional analyst, manage training, like their organized. I know World Bank because like I've applied for a role in World Bank before. That is all you do, just manage programs, right? So that was correct. At BCM, it was not that intense, but it was also very robust because I did a lot of policy. For example, at BCM, I didn't do a lot of hiring, right? I didn't do talent acquisition because I had someone who was focused on talent acquisition. So I did a lot of strategic things. I did a lot of employer branding, compensations and benefit. I didn't do payroll at all at BCM because BCM had someone finance team managed payroll. I'm just 3 weeks in here. A lot of my work has been high level strategy again because I have two direct reports. Someone focused on people operations, someone focused on talent acquisition. So I'm not thinking, they only make me into interviews, right? So I'm thinking high level things, designing our policy to ensure that they reflect who we are. We are a global company. Do our policies up to date to reflect global perception? Our core values, do they reflect who we are? Very, very high level things that, you know, I might not be able to disclose at the moment, but really high level strategy. I'm not doing anything operational. Right. So if you look at the companies, look at the roles, look at the different things. And it's funny because I feel like, quote unquote, here is where I have my simplest role. It's just HR manager. I don't have lead, I don't have senior, I don't have anything. I am just HR manager and I'm doing the most high level strategic things ever because I have two direct reports that are focused on operational things. So it really depends on the role, the company, but it's a lot. It's really a lot.
On a lighter note, what's the most interesting fire you've had to put out?
That's an interesting question. So I said, so because you use the word interesting, so maybe I will use controversial. So there's the time that someone was angry that I said his idea was baseless. Because honestly, to me, till date, I stand on it. I won't mention the company. That idea was baseless. I mean, I got like a feedback from my CEO that I shouldn't have done that and everything. I cannot share the context, but if I share the context, then the company, if they saw someone from the company see it, they will remember. Because that was like my biggest. So I'm like, how would you even conceptualize this? Think about it and then say it out, right? So that was very interesting. But I think that it was shocking to me that a landlord would have to call the workplace of a lady to confirm that she can afford rent. Every time I remember it, it's still very ridiculous to me. Because the call came in at a very interesting time because I was deep into work. And when I'm deep into work, I'm easily distractible. So I was not even with my phone. But my phone, it was even on silent. But the screen, like, immediately popped up. Like, who's calling me? And then, secondly, I don't like speaking calls from strange numbers. I was like, someone might be in trouble. Let me just speak. And like, yeah, hello. Yeah, good afternoon. Yes, am I speaking with Faith? Yes. You're the HR at CareerWise? Yes. Hey, I'm your first. Do you know... I won't mention the name. Do you know XYZ? Yes, she's a talent at this company. So immediately that conversation started. Like, okay, I guess that. Okay, hope this girl is not in trouble. Yada yada yada. I knew again, employee relations. I knew she was out something, right? So I just quickly switched to that mode. So just like asking me questions. I'm like, yes, we are career wise. Yes, we are in financial technology. Yes, we pay for our talents house rent. Like, it was just ridiculous to me that a landlord will not give a lady an apartment because things they will call. Yes, so I think that was really...
People are going through it.
Like, if you say this on Twitter now, you might not believe it. Again, I've been very... I like to think that... You know, I see my HR colleagues go through a lot, though. Let me just tell you. Like, I see things on WhatsApp communities. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm up and grateful, oh Lord. Because if I'm in their shoes, I don't know what we'd do. You know, says, get security man, impregnated CEOs, executive assistants, someone... took a marriage leave to go and get married to a staff. So it was not a leave, it was a secondment. So imagine that the office has a place in Lagos, Abuja, and Port Harcourt. So the staff, because it's an exceptional staff, was able to work a secondment to, say, Abuja for 3 months or for 1 month. So apparently, then the female staff took a leave and went to Abuja, and they both got married in Abuja. So... he came back to HR desk. I mean, when you hear scenarios like that, the first question you ask is, what do you want to do as an HR? Like,
so you mentioned something the other time, that personnel relation, like employee relations. How does that work? Because in this situation like this, at least one person should have opened up like HR to HR, like, this is what I want to do or something.
So what I've noticed, and like, I study people, like people that have amazing careers, people say exciting stuff about, a huge part of HR is actually like knowing people and also letting people know you, right? And not all HRs have that. And again, it is not a bad thing that they don't, because they are not exactly expected to. It just means that if you do, it helps your work easier, right? For example, aside the fact that we have policies and procedures, for instance, when I worked at CareerWise, I was personable, so I know people going through stuff. I remember that one day, I implemented compassionate leave before I left CareerWise. I'm not reasons I implemented compassionate leave, because it was because I had a female staff that was going through heartbreak, and heartbreak was affecting her productivity at work. Like... it was ridiculous. This person is a high performer. This person does not miss meetings. If she completes everything on her Notion board, or is it Trello now? Trello board. And this was just started dropping balls. And then the line manager comes to me to say, hey, I don't know what's wrong with this person. She's a star performer, so it's not like a trend. But in the last 1 month, this has been happening. And she had not spent 1 year, so she wasn't even entitled for a leave yet. A policy, I would also data change, right? But at that point, you know, you are not entitled to a leave, you have not spent 1 year. And I'm like, do you know what? We need to create something. People should be able to take time off work without necessarily, you know, going using the annual leave. Let's have something called compassionate leave. So we define what it should entail. Sickness outside of a normal sickness leave. You have cramps, you have emergency, your grandma swallowed blade in the village, you know, everything. Put it there and say you can take 5 days every 6 months, right? But that would not have happened if there was no employee relations, if I did not know what's up with the employee, and if the employee did not find me worthy, you know, of someone confiding in. So I joke about the fact that, like, in the end, every function of HR is interwoven. So you can see how just relating with someone has now led to policy development, you know, which has now been implemented, right? So I remember someone had an issue, and that issue made us implement the accommodation assistant policy, which is compensation and benefit, right? Which now became part of the EVP we sell, employee value proposition we sell under employer branding. Just one incident spiraling into like 3-4 different functions in HR. So the problem is not everybody has it. And again, it's not a crime that they don't.
So should those people consider I know I'm digressing, but should those people consider a career in HR at all? Because it seems like one of the very important soft skills needed in HR is being a people person.
So the reason why that conclusion might be dicey is because if you also join HR because you're a people person, you would have a lot of problem as you grow up strategically, because you have to fire people. You have to put your best friend on probation. Hopefully, you have a best friend that is as intelligence driven as you are. If not, you know, you might have to put your best friend on probation. You will have to make calls that are really difficult, you know, as a people person. Its restructuring might be going on and you cannot say it. It's not even because you want to or you don't want to. It's just confidential and you do not hate the person. You cannot just say it. It's you or them, right? So, however, I think that anyone... Another thing, they're very robust, especially if you play the global landscape. There are other parts of HR that do not really deal with people. For example, people analytics... When I mean do not deal with people now, I mean do not deal with employee relations. For example, people analytics is a very huge part of HR. It is not referenced a lot in Africa. One of my acquaintances, Desiree Ami, she was a former lead people. What's the role? There's a very funny role for a chief happiness officer at Eden Life. She wrote an article on LinkedIn recently. And I was just telling her that I loved the article because it was a data-centric article. It's just pure people analytics. I've applied for people analytics role globally before. Like, for people analytics, like, you don't need to like people. Nobody needs to like you. You just need to go to HRS dashboard and know this is our time to fill. This is our time to hire. This is our retention rate. This is our cost per hire. This is where our best hires come from. Do we need to invest in more universities because we've gotten our best entry-level hires from universities? Do we need to make our graduate program more robust because after our graduate program, we experienced 95% retention rate, and that's a retention rate, you know, people stay for the next 3 years. That means that a graduate program is a solid pipeline development for talent acquisition. You don't even need to know the 95 people. You're literally just looking at data and trend. That's people analytics. I'm pretty sure there are other roles like that. If you're an employer branding person now, you probably don't need to like your employees. You just need to be strategic or cunning enough to inspire them. Right? So, for roles like that, but if you're doing day-to-day people operations like I am, and I have done in my previous roles, then you might be. So,
yeah, I get it now. It depends on the role. Yeah. Sincerely, this conversation has actually changed the mindset that I have. Mindset I have about HR, and that is like the goal of the conversation, to help people understand what HR holistically means. Now, let's go to like this particular question that people often bring up, which is, who should an HR professional support? Should they support the organization? Should they support the employees? Because you mentioned at the other time. At the start, when you were describing how unconventional you are, you say you're not for the company, you're not for the employer, the employee rather. So, how do you create a balance between what the employers want, management wants, and what the employees want?
So, when I was at CareerWise, and I think when I was at BCM too, my Slack profile read, here to make people happy and productive. Happy is focused on employee, productive is for the business. I need you to be happy so that you can be productive. If you are not happy, I cannot ask for productivity from you. So I want to know, for example, your network has gone off twice. Do I need to buy you a new MiFi? Do you need to have like 3 MiFi as my reporter so that if Airtel slide, you switch to MTN immediately, seamlessly? Right. So if the company has not provided you 2 MiFi, or do I need to send you data allowance every month? So as a company, I've provided you 2 MiFi. I have provided you data allowance, 25K or 30K, or how much is MTN, 200 gig these days. Now, you have no excuse not to be productive. So that's how I literally think about my role in HR. Whatever I am doing, I'm creating the best environment for the people to help business achieve their goals. If business says this is the direction we are going, and I think that it would arm the employees' productivity, I'm going to raise it. If an employee raised something and I think that is extremely entitled, I still had the conversation like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, we are kind enough to do this, so we are not going to do this. Right? If I think employees are doing something and it's coming from a place of entitlement, I'm like, I'm going to say, no, I'm sorry. You know, that's not helpful for the business. The business cannot afford that right now. Next 2 years, if we reach this milestone, in the next 6 months, if we reach this milestone, this is our quota. If we hit it by December, we shall all go to Accra and Nairobi. But right now, we are going to Badagry. Straight up, right? Do I want you to have fun? Yes. Do I love employee engagement? Yes. Do I want us to do team bonding? Yes. But unless the company hits this target, we are not going to Nairobi. but you will like my Badagry by force, right? If you want to go to Nairobi, all of you should double down, right? So that's how I think about things, making employees happy so that they can be productive and achieve business goals.
So you are not for anyone, you are for everybody. You are for no one, my you are for everybody.
That's it.
You people. That's the way. But okay, now let's be real. I'm trying to think of it, of a possible case study in my head. Okay.
No, don't worry. Before you think about this, let me just help you. So I think that a huge thing that people forget is that HR is also an employee. Right. So every policy I implement, I'm one of my friends, Amarua, joking about the fact that I should have bought the car in 2022 and I didn't buy it. Like, I implemented a policy, you know, that enabled the staff of CareWise take a loan to buy out a car. That means that I could have bought a car myself. Do you get? So people need to know either it's going good or it's going bad. It's affecting HR. If company come and say, oh, there is no 100% performance bonus this year, it's now 50% because Tinubu is our president. You can cut that place out, please. Because Bala Blue is our president. HR is not going to get 100%. HR will get 50% like you people. And then if we hit a major milestone, say it's a global company that Nigerian economy doesn't directly impact, and they come and say, oh, it's at this year, alongside performance bonus, we are also paid 100% 13th leave. That means you can collect like 2.5 salaries in December, which has happened before in one of my workplaces. HR will also collect it. So I feel like people use I'm putting it out there, even if the HR is CHRO and the person sits in C-suits, whatever decision is made for employees, the HR is not exempted. It affects him or her or them. So I feel like when people realize that, if they come and say, oh, resumption time is no more 9, it's now 8 o'clock, HR too will come 8 o'clock. So I feel like general employees need to know that whatever goes on in the company actually affects HR too, because ultimately, HR is an employee. HR can be fired. HR can be sacked. HR can be put on probation. Yeah, I feel like when people get the mentality, they will realize that, oh.
I just said to do their job, right? Now that you put it that way, now it's like pressure is coming from two sides.
Exactly. Do you get, like, let me give a practical illustration. Just one time, this person is an acquaintance. The management was very mad at her. I did not know how to tell her. So this is start to say, hey, have you had a catch up with your line manager? Have you had a performance-related discussion recently? Are you both aligned on your goals? Hey, I saw that you missed this meeting. Oh, your team had this meeting and you didn't show up. Like, I just kept on pointing alpha because there was an high-level conversation going on at the top. The line manager wanted to put her on probation. The management wanted to fire her straight up. And both probation and firing, I could not communicate to her. So I kept on nudging her to do things. It's time for a probation. And during the probation, what I had said was, oh, do you remember when I said this? Do you remember when I said this? Do you remember when I asked you to do this? Did you do it? No, you didn't. That is why we are here. Do you get? So it's a lot of pressure. It's a lot. People say, all these things that people do for us, people should actually pity HR. I feel like people should pity HR as well. If they know what we do during the day.
So who looks out for you people?
Very good question. That question I asked, I paid HR did a Twitter space very recently, and literally that was the title of it. Who watches out for HR, right? I think that a lot of Nigerian HRs, we are in communities, very healthy communities. I mean, like one or two. I belong to an HR tech community. I belong to HR Foundry. I belong to Crescent Academy. It's not really an HR community like that, but I know people that are like 10, 15 HR. I don't join a lot of communities because it can get overwhelming for me. But yeah, I know a lot of people that are in 5, 10 communities. There are also people now coming out. For example, Yemi Fashion, who is like a daddy in the industry, runs an initiative called, I can't remember, Yemi Fashion Talent Partner, something like that, right? So that you can join. It's for HR, not HR. Taiwo Daya Battle, shout out to her. She has done amazingly well with HR Foundry. That's now hosted, like, they do amazing, amazing stuff. They pay for people's certifications, pay for people's tutorials every week. People, all the issues that I shared with you, you know, there were issues that have been shared on HR Foundry, right? The reason why I even like HR Foundry is because it takes me out of my tech bubble. because there are a lot of people that are in traditional companies, you know, at HR Foundry, HR tech community that Yewande Jinodu and Fopwe Daniels founded. Very amazing community, because all of us work in tech, so all of us are sharing our shit together, right? So I feel like HR, there's a lot of communal relations, community engagement, conversations, and but company know they watch out for us
because well,
they watch out for us. I honestly think that people should pity us more. That's what I think, because we are seeing shaking.
yeah, it's a very very dicey road to be.
Yeah,
and I understand,
because management is saying, why are you protecting this employee? And the employee is there thinking you're the second of the management. And that's why when I told you that, oh, some HR do not have to do unconventional things, but they too, they're just like, fire, and probation, you know, like, because they cannot put their life on the line, you know.
Thank you very much, Mie, for bearing your mind on this. And I believe it has given much more perspective to the way employees view HR. They are part of you, literally. Right, because sometimes they still act as though, I don't understand, they act as if...
No, so the problem is that we are also thinking for the business. I remember I would always give, I'm very sure that Better will not mind that I share this illustration. When I was at General Electric, so one of my favorite HR business partner was Better Lemoner. She was one of those people that made me think I can do HR the right way. She is a very amazing woman. So just one time, we were having, you know, open round table. There's this Friday round table that we do, and you know, people were asking questions. They're like, "Oh, so someone say, oh, Bethel, so are we getting performance bonus this year?" And Bethel just looked back and said, "How many turbines did you sell this year?" Because so Bethel was in GE Power. That's the context. So even though she had a Nigerian role, I think a Sub-Saharan African role, she was also, you know, managing a business. And so a senior engineer came and said, oh, are we getting performance bonus this year? And so she's literally saying, how many turbines did you sell? Turbine is one of the core products that GE Power sells. You know, and she was like, she literally said, how much money did you pay this year that makes you think that you deserve performance bonus? That might sound harsh, but it is true. Don't come and ask me performance bonus when you can see how the business is performing. You are a senior engineering manager. That's what I was hearing. She would not say that out, obviously, but again, another HR could have gone and said, I don't know. We will know by the end of the year. And that's literally what differentiates like operational from strategic. That's what differentiates conventional from unconventional. Better was an amazingly brilliant unconventional HR in a good way, in the firm way. I mean, Better comes, it was pre-COVID, right? Better comes into the office and walks around 50 seats and say hi to everybody, asks about their daughter that is in baseball, their son that is learning French, someone's uncle. I'm like, Bethel, how do you remember all these things? I feel like I do not give her and Mujia, Bethel, Mujia, Delapo, because those are like the HR managers I reported to when I was at GE. I do not give them enough credit for the impact they had on my career. Those three, they modeled what a good HR should look like. And then I remember, I was like, but this is not the HR people talk about. Why? What's disparity? And I would just say, conversation I was in, I was talking about employer branding on one podcast. And that's what made me decide that I'm going to do good work and I'm going to tell the story of my good work. So that if that's the only impact I have in the HR community, you know, I'm happy. And I cannot tell you the impact of that. People are not coming out to say, this is what I do every day at work. This is my work. Don't think that I'm here to witch hunt. I am not witch hunting. I'm going to police station to save a brain. What you have time to, you know, which also, so that's so we are not really for again, because also HR has privy to information that employees do not have. So we are making calls. See the performance discussion that I just illustrated. I could not have to be, she's even my acquaintance. I would like to tell you that, sorry, I'm about to get fired though if you don't sit your ass up. But I gave all the nudges possible. You know, have you done this? Have you had an alignment with your manager? You mentioned this problem hasn't been fixed. Do you understand your job description now, right? So, man,
you're trying. Yeah. Just to round up the conversation because you have to go now. So, do you have anything that you want to plug in?
I don't know. Okay, about me, about stuff. Number one, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. God will bless you. Search Emmanuel Faith on YouTube. I want to hit 2K subscribers. I mean, so my channel is very rich. My last video for Inters has been trending just because I sat down with my friend who just clocked 30. And we talked about career, HR, perception of, you know, marketing in tech, different exciting things. I'm running, so alongside, so I started running a series last last month called Career Chat, where I chat with specific professionals. You know how you have friends and their title is Head of Innovation and Partnership, but you don't know what they do. Literally, right. We all have friends like that. So I'm trying to bridge that gap, bring people on to talk about what they do. I've had the product marketing manager at Bumper. I've had the former content marketing and community manager at CareerWise, who's now a content lead at SoundFi. That's not my news to share. But yeah, I've had him on board. I'm having one of the best designers out of Nigeria on board in the next couple of months. I'm having a senior manager at PwC. I'm having a data analyst at Bethel Bridges, one of the largest data and research companies in Sub-Saharan Africa. So subscribe to my YouTube channel. If you're a founder, any kind of founder, tech, SME, HR, and you need some, you might have HR, you might not have HR, but you need the speed consulting session, subscribe to HR Clinic. I'm very sure it will be somewhere linked in this podcast. The exciting thing about HR Clinic is that it's sliding scale. What that means is that there is no billing. Like, you literally come with what you have, right? So there's a minimum cap, obviously, but like a sliding scale. That means that after you finish speaking with me for 1 hour, you can decide that I deserve this and pay me. And you can decide that it's also this much in that I deserve and you pay me, right? But, and I think that's what's most exciting about it. People ask me, why did you make a sliding scale? I'm like, I really just want to provide insight and share knowledge to funders and help them. Yeah, what else? I think that's all. My social media links will be very linked to the podcast. So thank you for listening.
Thank you very much for joining me on this call. It was quite exciting.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Modern Workplace Conversations. You can catch up with other workplace-related conversations at techpoint.africa/subject/work. All relevant links will be included in the show notes. Don't forget to send in your comments and recommendations to mwc@techpoint.africa. Catch you in the next one.